going through that helped bring me even closer in my faith, closer to God.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. I just want to thank everybody again so much for liking the podcast, for rating the podcast, for listening, for downloading, for subscribing. Thank you guys so much for doing that. It means a lot, and it's an honor to be able to do this for you guys every week. I never would have thought that it would have taken off the way it has. And thank you guys. Thank you guys. Without you listening every week, this wouldn't be possible. So I just want to let you know that I don't take that for granted. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. You can find us anywhere: Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can find Far Betterment. Also, if you haven't rated the podcast already, you can do so on those same applications, those same platforms. So please, please rate us 5 stars and let everybody know that you're enjoying what you're hearing and enjoying what we're doing here at Far Betterment. So to jump into it, our guest this week is Courtney Hendricks. She is an alumni of a TV show called Married at First Sight. If you haven't heard of it, where have you been? If you have heard of it, then you know what Married at First Sight is about. We talk a little bit about that here on this week's episode of Far Betterment. Courtney also talks about her growth from that experience and how she came out of it a better person and how she learned a lot about herself going through that. She also talks a little bit about being divorced and how difficult that was, but how she kind of needed that trauma and needed that experience to go through so she could learn and grow and become a better person. And I think she has. She's got a great support system. She has an amazing group of friends and family surrounding her. And she is one of the kindest people I have ever met. Courtney was an absolute pleasure to speak to, and so humble. And it was just an honor to do this podcast with her. So I thank her for being on. So without further ado, here's Courtney Hendricks for Far Betterment. Hi, is this Courtney?
Hi, this is Courtney.
Hi, Andrew from Far Betterment. How are you?
Hi, great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for doing this with me and taking the time out of your day. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm glad we got to finally connect. It's been a crazy week.
It's been a crazy long time for me, I think. So I totally understand. So I guess before we jump into it, I just wanted to ask you, you know, things that you didn't want to discuss, things that you didn't want to get into, because I don't want to put you in like an uncomfortable position at all. So,
okay. So the only thing that I can't talk about is why Jason and I ultimately divorced.
Okay.
Because it's something that we agreed not to talk about publicly, and really just keeping that private. Because basically, like, if we were to open that up, not only is it preventing us from healing and like taking something that was really private and opening it up for everyone's opinion, and it just prevents healing all the way around. And we always said we would protect each other. And so we agreed that we would never talk about anything with our divorce publicly.
Okay. Yeah, that's absolutely fair, I think. I mean, that must be insane to have to live that out in public all the time. And I'm sure you get asked those questions all the time.
I do. And yeah. To be honest, it bothered me a lot when everyone would be like, well, well, what, where is he in your pictures? Where's this? Where's this? And at that time, like we had, which was, it was fair. Like people wondering, it was fair. And, you know, we shouldn't have got mad, but like at the same time, we hadn't told anyone we were separated. We had no idea what we were doing. It took a long time for us to even get to the point of, okay, we're actually going to get divorced. And then we thought we were going to divorce in order to date. And then like things just happened after and things changed. And then, you know, it took a while. It took a couple months for us to even say anything publicly. And I got fed up. And that's why I even posted that thing on Instagram. I was like, I got to tell people. I was like, because I can't keep living my life going back to these hard moments and this heartache. Like it was preventing me from healing. And same thing with him. And then we both went public with other relationships. And, you know, we still have, I'm sure he has people that still are very surprised, because every day I'll get messages and emails and of people that are so heartbroken. And I'm like, you think you're heartbroken? Like imagine what we went through. But, I am happy to say that I'm in a great place. And from what I can tell, Jason and I are not friends right now. And I don't think we ever need to be, even though we thought we were going to be able to like amicably be friends, but he seems happy. He looks happy. And however it had to happen, he looks like he found the love of his life. And I want him to be happy. He deserves to be happy. And I deserve to be happy. And it took us coming together on a show. We needed each other at that time in our life for that season. And even though it hurt to separate and hurt to go through a divorce, we needed that, because a show picked us for each other. We didn't pick each other. And that was the bottom line.
That's really interesting that you bring that up. A show picked you guys and you didn't pick each other. And actually, before we go forward, I really liked a lot of the things you said just right there. Do you think it would be okay to leave that in? Or do you want me to take
that? Oh, yeah. You can leave everything I said in, because I didn't give away any like details or anything. It was just the honest truth.
And I think that would be really helpful to all those people that are asking you, like, what happened? Where'd he go? I think that's, you put it beautifully, and it's very difficult, I think, to live that in public. Like I already said that, but it's just so, it's hard to watch sometimes to see somebody have to go through that. You know, it really is. You guys seem like such nice people. You've been nothing but kind to me, like nothing but kind. And you don't have to put up with me, and you have, and you don't have to like answer my messages, and you do every time. Like you've been so nice. And I just hate to see you, you know, go through that. It's and not only that, but your new significant other. Like, I can't imagine what it's like for him to watch you go through it and, you know, not be able to, I don't know, defend you, or, and maybe he does, like, or maybe you don't let him.
Well, thank you. No, I try not to involve him at all. And he knew nothing about the show. So it was weird. He knew nothing about the show. And he was like, and I told him, I was like, don't ever go and watch it. Like, that was a time in my life that I don't like need him to know about, because I was very much in love with Jason. And I think that having a new partner who I'm very much in love with, and like I see spending the rest of my life with, and having kids and like growing old, like in a real way with him, I think it would be hard. I would never want to see his past life on TV, or even, I don't even like hearing about his past life, even though it's something that, you know, helped bring us together. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. And I don't know if I'll always be raw or emotional about it, or even have a feeling about it. But it's hard moving on from a past where you know you were happy at one time, but then there's also things that you realize, like, okay, growth happened during that. Things happened and you had to react, and how you chose to react is helping build your character. And sometimes that's the way that it's meant to be. And there were very specific things that happened with Jason and I that maybe if we had reacted different ways, the outcome would have changed, but I don't really think it would have. I think that the growth that we both experienced through the tough stuff, right or wrong stuff, even it was just all tough, you know?
Yeah.
It helped us get to the position that we are now and made us the people that our future partners needed and like our future selves needed. Because even like looking at Jason, he's so much better off without me. and he's so much happier and he's pursuing his dreams that I wasn't there for anymore. Like I wasn't there for the wrestling anymore. And look at him now. He's like doing these amazing things and he's happy and he's thriving. And like, same with me. I didn't need to be in New York anymore. I needed to be close to my family. I needed to be more grounded. I needed to be out of the spotlight. Spotlight's not good for me. It gives me anxiety. Spotlight's great for him. So it was like fundamental things like that, that we did not know we were so different on because we changed into those. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And actually that brings up another interesting point. Did the show not, and just to be honest, like I was never a watcher really of the show. Like my wife was a huge, like she liked it. And so I was introduced to you through that. You know, I had seen a couple episodes here and there, but I wasn't like a big fan. What I was a fan of was after you were off and kind of seeing like my wife following you on Instagram, and then I started following you and realizing like, wait, this person is completely different. Not completely. I mean, you've changed into this person, but from what was on the show or what they showed on the show, did they not, like you said, the spotlight was bad for you. Did they not try to like ask those types of questions, or do they kind of expect everybody wanted to be in that public spotlight and wanted to show who they were all the time?
Well, for the first show, when we, like the experiment, mm-hmm. I loved like every moment of that. Like okay. I never had like any issue with that. I mean, it was time consuming and I had so much going on, but I had no problem with that. It was also only 6 weeks. Like our season, since it was the very first one, I think actually we were only married for 5 weeks before decision day. So like filming total was like 6 weeks, maybe six and a half. So just a little over a month. Now the freaking spinoff were 6 months of filming.
Wow.
So
wow.
It was, and it, yeah. And so like we were filming the same time as Jamie and Doug were filming, and it was the same crew. So we would have like 3 days with us, 3 days with them, working around four people's schedules, going in between states because we were in New York and they were already out in Jersey. So it was just a lot. It was spread out. And, you know, some things happened to me personally during the first season of the spinoff that did change my behavior. And I was absolutely going through a depression and I didn't realize my behavior and like everything. I didn't realize how I was acting. And some things in the show, you know, they do for drama effect, but mm-hmm. I can 90% of what you saw on the spinoff of me and how I acted was true. Like that was me. I was not in a good place. I was avoiding trauma that had happened to me the year before the show, things that started coming back to me and things I had started remembering, and I needed therapy off camera. And I was terrified to talk about it. I was terrified I was going to get exploited. It took me years to even get to the point where I am to even talk about it because I was like, I don't need anybody to know these things. There's not a purpose for this yet. However, now I see that having to look at myself on TV, acting the way that I was, having to read comments on the internet, even though people are like, oh, don't read what they say about you. Everybody does because everybody wants to be relevant and they want to be talked about. And like reading those things and like some of the mean and hateful, nasty things people were saying, I needed to see how others saw me because that's not the person I wanted to be. And the person that Courtney there is not the same one that I am now. And going through that helped bring me even closer in my faith, closer to God. And it's just, I have grown a lot. And for people to be able, like for you to recognize that in me through just social media makes me really happy because I want to be the type of person and the type of Christian that people see God's light through me. And back then you couldn't see that because it wasn't there.
Oh, I absolutely think there's been like a change even just in the last, oh geez, like 6 months. I mean, you know, and that feels weird to say, like, I've been following you for this long. It feels weird to be telling the person you're following on the other side, like, hey, I've been watching your life. But like, that must be weird for you to hear that from people. Like, I'm watching you.
Well, I mean, it's not really. I mean, sometimes it is, but I mean, I think my opinion on it has changed like over the years too, because I have to say over the years, because this has been like 5 years of my life.
Yeah. Wow.
And even though like, you know, the chapter with Jason is closed, mm-hmm. it is still a part of my life because I do feel like I was given a platform and the majority of people, well, all of those people that followed me because of my marriage. And now that my marriage is over and gone and it's just me, and I mean, I lost some followers. Don't get me wrong. I lose them every day. I gain a little bit more. Like, you know, I'm still losing them. But those people are still here. There's a large amount of those people that are still here. And I often wonder, okay, why do they still care? I'm not with Jason. And that was a little bit of an eye-opening moment to me of you've been given something. You've been given a gift. How are you going to use that gift? Are you going to use it for good? Or are you going to use it for something selfish and destructive and something that doesn't mean anything? And I do want to make a difference, and I don't always know how to make a difference, but I don't know. I think that maybe somewhere, sometimes, you know, I do get positive feedback and messages back, and I just hope that the social media platform that I was given, I can use for something good and not something crummy.
Yeah. And I'm a believer that people who want to do something good will figure it out and end up doing something good. I think if you really want it, you'll have it. And you seem like a person that, like I said, you've been nothing but kind to me. And that's so, I don't want to say it's rare. You know, I choose to believe most people are good, but it is hard to get somebody's attention and then have them give that attention back to you.
Yeah.
I think you're very genuine. Like, I think you're a really genuine person, and you can, that's probably why people like have stuck with you, you know, because you are genuine and you can see that you are willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to be honest with people and share like the parts of you that people might not necessarily like see or know. I think Jamie probably has that too. That's probably what's so endearing mm-hmm. about both of you guys. And her husband as well, Doug. I think seems to be like part of that same wavelength. Did you guys become close after the show, or are you guys just kind of like acquaintances through the show, or?
Well, something cool about Jamie and I, so mm-hmm. we met during casting. We were in the same group we were in the bathroom and we were talking about, well, are you going to sign it or not? And I remember like we were either washing our hands or like she was going in and I was going out or something like that. And I was like, well, yeah, I already signed it. And I turned it in. She's like, what? Wait, what do you mean? And I said to her, I was like, I mean, they're not going to find anybody who's going to match my crazy ass. Like, it's fine. I was like, you might, you know, no regrets. And I literally, that was my attitude. And I remember her being like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. And obviously, ultimately, she decided to sign it and go through with it. But one thing about Jamie that I do know that everybody finds so, well, not everybody, most people find endearing about her. Other people want to use it as a negative to her or like to talk crap about her. Mm-hmm. But like, she is an open book. And that woman has been through things that I cannot even fathom going through. And she's one of the strongest people I've ever met in my entire life. And her willingness to share her soul and her pain and her trauma with others so that they might heal and not feel alone is a very rare quality. And I am not there yet with all my past, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so her and I have been friends for a long time. And I do think that sometimes, you know, when you've been friends with someone for a long time, if you've never had like a fight with them and been able to forgive each other and come back from it, then you aren't really real friends. And Jamie and I even had a fight one time when she was at my apartment. I was being crazy pants and like we were able to come back from it and I earned her trust again. And I think that her and I will be lifelong friends. We'll always keep in touch. Same thing with Monet and a couple of other people from the show, but she's cool people. I give her a stamp of approval for sure.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. I think a lot of people always wonder stuff like that. So I guess to get off the show a little bit, because I want to know about you specifically. I guess let's start from the beginning. Are you from here, or I guess here being Raleigh? Or, you know, where did you come from? Where did you grow up? Stuff like that.
Okay, so I'm not from Raleigh, but I'm from North Carolina. Okay. A little town called Mint Hill, right on the outskirts of Charlotte. and born and raised in the same house. Yeah, my parents still live there. We had a bunch of land, lived beside my grandparents. So I grew up in a really cool way, and I'm one of three, so I'm the middle child. I 100% have middle child syndrome, but I have an older sister and a younger brother, and we're all 3 years apart. I think we're definitely, like, pretty close. My whole family is really close, which I appreciate so much, and I know that a lot of people don't have that, and I'm really thankful the way that I was raised. I had a great childhood. Obviously, I didn't have everything I ever wanted, but I had everything I needed. And Mint Hill's a great place to grow up. It's like blown up now. So many people know about it. It used to be the Sticks. Now it's not, though.
Was it weird, like, going to a big city then? Or did you kind of already have that experience before you moved to New York?
Well, I went to East Carolina University, so in Greenville, okay. North Carolina, and not a big city at all, like so, so small. But after I was done with school and I moved home, I wanted to go back to school for makeup artistry specifically. So growing up, I was always into acting, musical theater, but I did not like to sing by myself. And as I got older in school, all of the musicals, you had to get up on stage and you had to sing by yourself in front of everyone. That terrified me. So I would only ever audition for the chorus stuff. I didn't want a singing part by myself because I didn't want to sing by myself. So eventually I transitioned out of musical theater, and that's what I went to school for. So at East Carolina, I was trying to get into the professional actor training program, and it was called Meisner. And for 2 years, I tried to get into it. Unfortunately, I didn't. And so I was like, oh no, I'm just going to quit school and I'm going to go to this makeup school that's in Toronto. I was just going to leave. And one of my professors was like, Courtney, you do not have to do that. There is something called special effects makeup for the theater, and you can change, like, you can pivot your degree, do theatrical design and production, then get your degree and then go somewhere else and do continued education. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do that. And that's what took me to New York. So it was continued education. But once I found that school, it was called the Makeup Designer. I was like, okay, I'm there. I went to a trade show in April of 2011. I moved there by myself with a suitcase in September 15th, 2011, and I never left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so you spent a good amount of time there.
I was there almost 3 years before even the show came up. So I was there 7 years before I left.
Wow, that's crazy. So you've always been into, like, cosmetics and stuff, because I noticed you post a lot of that stuff online, and just an embarrassing thing about me, like, sometimes my wife will have me do her makeup for her, and I'm horrible at it.
But that means you're good. Oh,
I don't think I'm good at it. I'm okay at eyes, but
that's good.
I'm not. I think she just uses it to, like, I don't know, tease me maybe or something. But
that's cute though.
She's definitely the makeup person in the house for sure. But yeah, so do you want to transition into that still, or you just, you know, want to use your platform for tutorials and stuff like that?
Well, it's kind of up in the air. So as of right now, I'm not working towards getting back into the union for the East Coast, because that was my primary focus when I was in New York, just doing film and television for makeup. I did not like doing bridal. I didn't like doing fashion. I wasn't interested in working with models. I wasn't interested in doing, like, pretty makeup. I only wanted to do film and television. And so when I did decide to leave, part of the reason I decided to leave New York too was the industry is changing in terms of where the work is. And there is a heavy concentration in the South, specifically in Georgia. So in my mind, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to leave. I'm going to burn it at both ends, be in Georgia working on film and television, maybe be in Wilmington doing film and television, and maybe working for my parents' company. That was, like, part of my idea, I guess. But the market's also super saturated because of, which is a great reason, but, like, Instagram, YouTube, everybody thinks that they can be anything these days. And to a certain degree, they can. Anybody can teach themselves anybody can be taught, and a lot of it's not necessarily what you know, but who you know, and the hustle of fighting all of these new artists just got to be not fun anymore. Like, it just wasn't worth it to me anymore. And then I also did have an injury, like, I guess it's been 3 years ago now, when I was almost ready to apply to the union for makeup, and I broke my foot, and I missed out on 4 jobs that I already had lined up, and that would have been completing all of my requirements for set work in order to apply to the union. And at that time, I was devastated. I was like, I just ruined everything. Now I'm never going to get in it. But then at the same time, through my recovery and the year after, I realized my heart and my passion wasn't there anymore. And I really wasn't that into it. And I was never into doing makeup tutorials on myself, because I would rather do makeup on other people, not teach somebody how to do makeup on my own face, which I just still find a little weird. Mm-hmm. But people like request it all the time. And I'm like, I'll try.
That's do you get just thousands of messages every day?
Not really anymore. Like, sometimes it depends what I post, like, but it also caps out at 99. So I can't see past 99 unless I like delete them. And I don't open all the messages, but I read most of them. I just don't accept it. And then I don't delete, which I know a lot of people that get a lot of messages, they'll open it and delete it, and they may or may not respond. But when I do respond, it just goes into, my general file, and then it just kind of organizes it that way. But I don't know. I try to respond as much as I can, but sometimes it does get a lot. I get hundreds a day, not thousands.
That's a lot.
Yes. When we announced the divorce, I had, I think, 4,000 comments on a picture, and I had never had that many. And the same sort of thing in my DMs. It was, if not 4,000, like, they were just flooding in these like long paragraphs of encouragement and sympathy, and it was overwhelming in the best way. Like, I remember reading them, and even though I was very confident in my decision and I had, you know, already made steps of moving forward, even though we had just announced it, it just made you cry, because it's like, these people who are essentially strangers have so much more faith in me right now than I feel like I have in myself. And like, those encouraging words, they mean the world to you when you need to be lifted up a little.
I remember specifically there was one, I mean, I can't remember the picture exactly, but I remember reading the comments and how like just vile people were being and how toxic people were being. And I remember your reaction to it, though, was so graceful. That's probably the moment that I thought, like, I have to ask her. Like, I have to take my shot and ask her to be on, because she has a lot more to say, and she's not getting, like, the opportunity to hear, because, you know, it's your public platform, and you can't just go tell people off, you know, you can't be angry, you can't, like, you know. And I saw a lot of people defending you, but I just thought it was so awful the way people were talking to you. Like, you were the worst person in the world, but you're going through something that's like very painful, and other people have gone through, and they get to do it privately, and they don't have to have an explanation to anybody. They don't owe anything to anyone, and people were treating you like you did. How did you get through that? How did you stay so strong to be able to like overcome that kind of, I don't want to call it abuse, but I mean, in a sense, it kind of is.
Well, when it upset me, like, a lot of the stuff would rock me to the core, and a lot of it made me like question, like, why am I even still doing this? Why am I even post? Why am I telling people like people don't deserve? And what it really comes down to is I realized finally that hurt people hurt other people, and trying to like look from their perspective and I don't think that anybody truly hates me or really truly thinks those things that they said, or that I'm the most awful human being on the planet, or, you know, all the things that they said. I think that they are projecting their own insecurities and also just having someone else as a punching bag that they think, because I put a certain part of my life on TV, that I deserve to be told all these things. And I think it really goes back to hurt people hurt other people. And I don't wish I could remember the comments. I'm sure I could go back, but I'm thankful that I've been able to like leave a lot of those behind. And I did. Oh, one thing that I did too. People could see more comments than I could see, so I filtered them.
Oh, really?
To where certain words I couldn't see. People could still post them, but I wouldn't be able to see those comments. So I'm sure there were a whole lot of other things written about me than I even am aware of. And I encourage that, and I encourage the mute button for people and the block button. Like, social media has gotten super out of hand, and it boggles my mind some of the things people say and they think they're entitled to. And I call them keyboard warriors, but like, some of the stuff is just like absolutely insanity. And it's like, you would not say that to a person's face because you'd get slapped, number one.
Yep.
But like the courage people have behind the internet and the balls is just like, are you serious? You wouldn't do that in real life.
Social media is like really crazy. The access you have to people nowadays it blows your mind. Like the fact that I can just write to somebody and ask them to be on the podcast and they can read it and then, you know, tell me yes or no, even though they have like hundreds of thousands of followers is pretty crazy to me. You know, like that's...
But that's like the cool. That's the cool part.
it's so cool, but at the same time, like I guess I often think of you guys like, wow, this must be really weird for you guys. I bet that's probably just a me thing. That's probably an insecurity thing that I've got. But I just think like this must be so weird to have some random stranger reach out to you guys and just ask you like, hey, come on my podcast, or how can I do this makeup tutorial? Like, you know, that must be so wild.
I mean, it's really humbling, and I'm like really very honored because people don't have to reach out and send me messages. And when they do, I mean, I think that says something like, I don't know, whatever it is that I'm doing, you want to talk more about. And I think that's cool. And I'm like definitely humbled and very, I'm flattered by it because I don't think I'm that cool.
You're very cool.
Well, thank you.
No, I think you are. And I like I said, you've been so nice and just like very gracious in the way you handle everything. And I think that's really something that people can look up to and follow. I think you're really
well,
like,
thank you.
You're really putting out a lot of positivity and we need more of that everywhere we can get it. So that actually leads me to another question. So you said you hadn't like figured out how you want to use this platform and you know that you're grateful to have it. What was it like when you first realized that, you know, you were starting to gain all these followers and that you had a social media presence, and how did you think you were going to use it then versus how you are using it now?
So I think before, like when the show started airing, I had like maybe 1600 followers of people that I knew in real life sort of thing. Because I was a private account. All of my social media was super private. And I was kind of very careful what I posted anyways, because for no other reason other than I didn't want my parents seeing what I was doing. And, cause I was like being a kid, you know, living my best life and probably posting way too much stuff about being drunk and drinking and partying. So that was why everything was private. So when I realized that people were starting to follow me, I don't know. I don't think it changed what I was posting, honestly, other than there was a lot more stuff about me and Jason. Maybe about a year into it, and my followers really started blowing up. And then with the first year, and then as the seasons continued, I started to be more aware of what I was posting when I got an email from my father after the first YouTube video went live, and it was on the TV, and it was a video. It was funny, but it was a video of me and Jason, and I was driving to Philly, And I was, every other word was being bleeped out of my mouth. I mean, like, you can look this up. It was under Married Life. And it's funny because of the context, but the way that everything that was coming out of my mouth, it sounded so awful. And I embarrassed my family. And what my dad said to me in this email was like, I cannot believe you allowed those things to come out of your mouth. And I cannot believe you allowed to represent yourself that way and your family that way. And he was like, our pastor and his wife follow you on the internet. Children follow you on the internet. And he was like, people look up to you, whether you want to be looked up to or not. This is who you are now. You picked this. You better do the right thing.
Wow.
And I think from that moment on is when I was like, okay, you need to get it together. Like, and I don't have it together all the time. I still, you know, I do things and say things that I probably shouldn't, and I post things that I probably shouldn't. I hear it all the time in my DMs, call me like a drunkard or whatever. And like, just because I post those things don't mean it's like I'm like that all the time.
Yeah.
But I did realize, and part of it was growing up too, that like what you put out there is the perception you create for yourself. You have complete control over that. Do with it good or waste it. And I guess like since then I tried to slowly think of something I could do for better. And it was also really weird too, like learning what an Instagram analytic was and social media analytics and seeing of your followers who likes what and what they respond to most. And people responded most to things about me and Jason, you know? And so obviously my Instagram feed has changed since he and I are no longer together. And I found that people still respond and they still engage with the rest of the stuff that's going on in my life. And I don't know, it's nice to have a shift because I think that maybe my followers, or at least some of them, are growing with me and are a lot like me. And I think that that's cool too.
You definitely are relatable. I mean, for sure. I mean, I think it's because you are so honest though. That kind of stuff is, you know, doing the things that other people are afraid to post publicly or, you know, hide or don't want to show, that's super brave, first of all, but also, like, makes you feel as a person, like, more comfortable, more relatable, more, you know. That's what I appreciate about your account is you don't lie.
That is true. You know,
you're just like very upfront about things, and the way you handled the whole you know, Jason thing and divorce thing, like that had been incredibly hard. But it sounds like you have a really good foundation as far as your family and them keeping you grounded. What was it like for them watching you be so public on TV, on social media, on, you know, just in general?
So when the show was filming, all of the shows and stuff, not just the first one, but any of them, it was very important to my family that they not be associated with it because my family does own a business. And we are responsible. I say we because I work at the company now. We are responsible for more than just our own family. We have 75 employees across the state in different locations, and our faith, our image affects them. And so that is why my dad and the rest of my immediate family was not on the show, because my dad was like, I cannot sign this contract saying that this company, saying that like the TV company and the network can use my image and my name at any time, at any place, make me look like I said something or make me look like one way or another. And that's like what you sign up for when you do reality TV. You sign your rights away because the production company has to protect the production company and the story. And I understand it. It's business. It's not personal. So Roger, that's my dad, he had to make the decision for our family at that time. It wasn't personal to me. It wasn't an attack against me or not being there for me. It was strictly a business decision. And to be on the show would have been a bad business decision. From that to now, I show my family a little bit on there with their permission. I was very careful about showing my niece and my nephew because they're kids, and not saying my followers are creeps, but there are creeps on the internet. And you have to protect the people who can't protect themselves. And anything to do with the show, I feel it is my responsibility to protect my family because they didn't sign up for it. I did. I did it willingly. They didn't sign up for it. So it's not fair to put them on it even on my social media without their permission.
What did you expect from the TV show? Did you expect it to be exactly what happened, or did you not have any expectations, or?
Well, we didn't think it was ever going to go to air.
Oh, really?
We didn't think it was good. We did not. I remember coming out of the final talk with Joseph Salona, and me, him, and Jason were talking. Jason was like, what am I going to do about the Fire Academy? Because he was, like, freaking out. He's like, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? And Joseph was like, man, don't even worry about it. Like, we don't even know if it's going to air. It might, like, live on the internet. We don't really even know how this is going to do, because this was, you know, the kickoff with a rebranding of a network, and people had no idea what the response was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then it hit, and it hit hard, and no one was prepared for that. And so I don't know what I was even thinking back then. I didn't think it was going to turn into this, but I also thought I would have had a kid by now, you know? So my expectations and what I thought was going to happen has changed so often.
It's, you know, what's wild to me is how, like, it exploded. That must have been a crazy ride to be on.
It all happened so fast.
Yeah.
Like, so to give you a timeline from when we were filming, so we got married March 23rd, 2014. We did the final casting, at least the girls did. And I'm weird. I remember, like, dates and outfits and things of important stuff. February 20th and 21st. It was one of those days. I found out I was getting married and matched. I found out I was getting married on March 7th, which was my mother's birthday. So these things literally happened within a month, and then we were married. Filmed for 5 weeks after that. We were done by the beginning of May. I think we filmed Decision Day April 26th, because that was my sister's birthday.
Wow.
And then it didn't start airing it finished airing the end of September. We had already started filming for the spinoff.
Yeah.
It had already been greenlit, and, like, it was already in negotiations and decided. So, like, it happened so fast in this entire series. It's happened very quickly, but I don't know if you're, like, super into reality TV, but after people saw how well Married at First Sight did with the whole experiment, mm-hmm. other people jumped on the bandwagon. And when something's hot, it's hot. And if you wait too long, it might not be hot anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons they've been so quick to pump out seasons too. And I know it was a big milestone for Kinetic, who's the production company, to have the type of turnaround that they did in terms of timeline, because it was like 6 weeks in between the end of filming to it airing. And now it's even tighter. Like, I know that with this season of Married at First Sight, they just got done filming and it's going to start airing in January.
Wow.
It's just like the turnarounds, they do good work. They do great work.
So I don't know if you're allowed to say anything, but what do you think of the show now?
I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last season that I watched was when Jason and I were still together, and we watched some of it. I want to say it was with Chicago. I think that was the last season I watched. And that was like season 5 or 6.
Okay. Did you like watching yourself, or did you guys not watch that?
Oh, yeah, we watched ourselves. We had, like, viewing parties all the time. Now, some of it I wish I had been like, oh, no, I don't want to watch. But it's always interesting to see what makes it to the air, because we filmed so much more than what is seen. And, like, conversations that were 3 hours long that don't even make it in there is, like, so nuts. And then you, like, hope to see something, or you hope to not see something, and then that's, like, a focal point of an episode, and you're like, oh, God, I wish I could take that out.
Oh, no. That must be so hard to not be in control of your life like that.
That was the hardest part for me. I don't want to say I'm a control freak, but I do like control. And you know what? Maybe I am a control freak because it does give me anxiety when I can't control things. And I think that was a big part of me with the show and not liking being on TV because I didn't have any say so. It's not like I was an executive producer, mm-hmm. like one of the Kardashians who get a final say in every single image that's put up of them on their show, you know?
Yeah.
I had no say. And that's also, that's part of reality TV. They are telling a story and you better be part of telling the right story, or if they don't have a story to tell, then they're going to have to create one. And that's just part of reality TV. And that's why controversy sells. People don't always want to see stuff that's, you know, fairy tale and lovey dovey, but that's also something that Married at First Sight brings that other ones don't, because it's still authentic. And I think that's also why, season one was, you know, the most liked by people. I think that more people tune in now, obviously, because it's been around longer. So I don't want to say the most popular season, but I think it is kind of crazy that, like, you know, the personalities from season one are still sticking around. Like, if you look at The Bachelor, the personalities from season one, two, and three, they're not necessarily still sticking around, and people don't still talk about.
Yeah.
Kind of like on to the next one. So
I think that season, I don't know. I think your season probably had the most authentic and, well, I don't want to say the most authentic. I think that's probably not fair to the other seasons, but it definitely had, like, it held something for people. Like, it held a special place in their heart. It was, it's like a Cinderella story, kind of. Like, you had these people who felt like they weren't, you know, doing so well on the dating scene or whatever. They wanted to be set up, and then, like, they married this stranger that was matched up to them by some test and now you're married, and, like, that's pretty cool and kind of crazy and really like a insane idea, but it seemed to work at some points.
Absolutely.
Did you guys, how scared were you? Like, how scared were you when you found out you were going to be on and you found out they had matched you and now you're getting married and 6 weeks you have to make a decision to stay together or not? Like, how scary is that?
I was terrified to tell my family because I didn't know what they were going to think. And when I found out that I was matched and I had to tell my parents, we were at the beach house and I was literally upstairs. My brother, his girlfriend was there for the first time meeting the family. And I'm like crying up in one of the rooms. And my sister's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I was freaking out, like hyperventilating. Yeah. I was like, I got to tell y'all something. And I know they were thinking like some of the worst things, like, what, like, are you on drugs? Like, are you pregnant? Like, what's going on? And I went downstairs and I remember my dad being like, come downstairs, come talk to us. Like, you can confide in us. And I told them and they were all like, what? And nobody was on board. Until my brother, like, kind of perked up and he was like, hey, you know, that's not that big of a deal, you know, getting matched. I met Jenna, who's my brother's now wife. I met Jenna on Match.com and everybody looked at him like, I thought you met through mutual friends, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we just said that because we knew you were going to judge. And so, like, my brother's stepping up and, like, helping take that little brunt of the end with me, it really helped. But then by the next, like, I mean, I cried. Like, we talked about a whole lot of stuff. And by the next morning, my dad, he dropped me off at the airport because this was in South Carolina and I had to go back to New York. And he said to me, he gave me a hug and he was like, look, I trust your judgment. I trust you. Trust your gut. If at any point during this 6 weeks or 5 weeks, however long it was, that you feel something is not right, you're out. Just tell him. Be like, you're out. And he's like, we'll face the consequences. And so he was on board with it at that point until he saw some of the paperwork. And then it was, he was concerned for how things would go in the, with the TV aspect of it, mm-hmm. but he supported me. And because he supported me, the rest of my family trusted that too. So I had support. It's just people didn't see it. And I know this sounds silly, but, like, and I wasn't that scared because I had that support. Like, I knew even if this goes sideways halfway through or at the end or whenever, if and when it goes sideways, I have people that are going to pick me up and they got my back. And I knew that going in. And I don't know if everybody had that, but I did.
That's so nice. It sounds, like I said earlier, like, you have such a great foundation and circle, like, surrounding you. it's just crazy to me to think that, I guess for me, it's different because I feel like I've always kind of been searching for that. So I'm always in awe of people who have like that really tight knit family foundation, that really like amazing bond and stuff. I'm always in awe of people like that. I think it's so, so like amazing and really cool. And I always feel like, this will sound weird, but I always feel like an outsider looking in. And I don't know why that is. That's kind of weird. Now that I say that out loud.
No, it's not weird at all. And, you know, I do think that I know that I'm very lucky and I'm very blessed because not everybody grew up the same way I did or has the same support like I have. But what's great too is you can start that with your wife and your kids. It's all about example, and it doesn't matter where you came from. It matters where you're going. And, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about breaking the cycle of whatever it was in their life. Nothing from your past defines you. The only thing from your past, okay, that was yesterday. It doesn't matter. Moving forward is what matters. And anybody can be and do anything that they want. And it's all about love. And you and your wife can start and do whatever you want, whether it's with kids or dogs or just each other. I'm sure you have each other's back, and that's the most important thing.
I can't wait for her to hear that. No, that's a really nice thing to say. I appreciate that. That's very, very, a very profound thing to say, really. So I guess this will be kind of a huge question for you. How do you think you've changed from before the show to being on the show to now?
I think the biggest change, I'm still a selfish person, but because we all are and no one is perfect. There was only one perfect person and that was Jesus. But my selfishness has changed in a different way. Mm-hmm. Before the show, I never thought about anybody else but myself. I didn't have a boyfriend because I didn't want a boyfriend. Not that I couldn't find someone. Mm-hmm. Doing the show and being with Jason, for the first time in my life, I had to think about somebody else other than myself. From the first show to, I guess, us deciding we were going to separate, the change that I saw in myself is I was still selfish, but in a different way. I was able to recognize when I needed to leave something because it wasn't going to continue to help me grow, and it wasn't going down the path that was healthy for me mentally or physically. If you go back and even look at pictures from like me now to during like the second show and stuff, I am 25 pounds lighter than I am there because I was unhealthy. I had bad habits. I wasn't happy too, but it was an internal happiness, not something that someone else could have brought me. It was internal, and I needed to focus on my relationship with not only God, but getting back into a healthier space, because health is not just one thing. It is spiritual. It is physical, and it is mental. And I credit a lot of my mental healing to therapy, but also church, getting back into the Bible, praying a lot, and having people around that can lift you up. And I guess from now, looking back at when Jason and I did decide to separate, I'm a lot stronger than I ever gave myself credit for. And I think I've grown into being strong. I remember all through the show, people would be like, "You're so strong. You're so strong." I'm like, I don't feel strong. I feel like all I do is cry. I feel like all I do is not have the answers. I feel like all I do is screw up. And everybody's always there to tell me exactly what I did, even though I always knew the things I needed to work on. But once you accept, hey, I'm not perfect. Why am I trying to be? Let me get help and let me learn. That's when you become stronger. And like having that courage to say, hey, I cannot do this on my own. Please help me is the strongest thing anybody could ever do, whether it's needing mental help, whether it's needing help with addiction or suicide or depression, or if you can't lift a box, hey, let me ask for help. It can be something as simple as that. And I think that that's where I've changed the most.
That's a hard change to make. How did you find the courage to to do that? Like, where did you find that in you to be able to find a way to ask or find a way to, I guess, get over, okay, this is going to sound awful, I don't mean it this way, but to get over yourself to be able to do that?
Basically being brought down to your knees and not having any other option left is when it's like, okay, I cannot do it. What do I do now? And there have been times that I have been laying on the floor, sobbing, crying, because I was out of things. I was out of ideas of how to help myself. And it's sad that, well, it's hard that, you know, we wait until that point to ask for help sometimes. And a lot of this I'm referencing to asking help from God, because that's the only reason I was able to change. Mm-hmm. Because I became stronger in my faith and my relationship with Him. And it was being brought to my knees multiple times over multiple years and being like, this is not who you are. Are you going to stop? Are you going to ask me for help? Or are you going to keep trying to do it on your own? Because I couldn't do anything without Him. And that's who and what I credit any and every change that I've made. And I am not where I want to be by any means. This is a journey for sure, but it's a lot easier and a lot more pleasant walking with God than without Him.
So how did it feel coming back home then? Did you feel at peace coming back?
Like a weight had been lifted off of me, yeah. And something that had been like squeezing my heart and stomach let go. That's literally what it felt like. And, you know, and I drove home from New York June of 2018, and I split the day up. Like, I drove 8 hours and I like was exhausted. I can't remember where I slept, like 3.5 hours away from Charlotte. Got up at like 5:30, finished the drive, went into work that day because it was my first day at work working for my family's company. Went in, like, showered and went into work. And it was an interesting 4 months, because what people don't tell you about separation and then eventually divorce is it's a roller coaster of emotions that, like, you can't stop. And you can't stop the emotions. And if you try, it's just, they still find their way through. And some days I couldn't get out of bed. And I would, like, text my mom, who I was staying with them for the first month and a half. And I'd, like, text my mom, text my dad, and be like, I need you. I can't get out of bed. And I remember it was either my dad or my mom telling me once, like, sleep another hour and then get up. And I was like, okay. So I needed specific directions on the hard days of allow yourself a little bit of pity and then get up. I don't care what you have to do, but then get up, take a shower, go through the motions. If you have to, it will get better. And then there were days too, like I would just be crying for no reason at all. And I remember it was like August, something like the end of August, and we were at the beach and it was the morning time, like 7 or 8 o'clock. And I was in the kitchen and I was just crying. And my dad came in, he was like, honey, what is wrong? And just like gave me a hug. And I was like, I don't know, but I feel like I ruined my life. I just had a feeling like I ruined everything. What am I going to do from here? And that wasn't me ruining my life. It was me feeling the death of a relationship that had been an important part of me becoming the woman I'm supposed to be. And just because it didn't work out doesn't mean it didn't have a purpose. And it doesn't mean it wasn't real. It just, it was time. And it's all about timing.
How did you find courage to find that again, to be loved again?
I thought I was unlovable, and I don't know how Sherm happened. Like, I don't know, because I was convinced that I was never going to get married. I was never going to have kids because I'm running out of time. Like, I'm 32 now, and I was like, nobody's going to want me. I referred to myself as damaged goods. I didn't think that I was lovable because everybody was going to see what I had and what I walked away from their perception, and they would never know the, quote, true story. That's what I thought in the beginning. And I knew that when I left, I was going to be the bad guy in it. And I had to be okay with that because I knew I was doing what was best for me and my future. And eventually Jason would find someone, and I knew he wouldn't have a problem because he's a great looking guy and he's a great human being, which is the most important. He just was not capable of being what I needed for the rest of my life. And that wasn't his fault. My fault, I guess. But Sherm kind of fell in my lap at the end of November of last year. And we met through mutual friends and literally through Instagram, and we started as friends, and it just kind of happened. And it's been a very beautiful accident. It was not planned, and it's been a love that I did not know I was capable of having.
You're definitely not damaged goods.
Well, thank you. I don't feel that way anymore, but for a long time I did.
Yeah.
And for a long time, months, I thought I ruined my life, and I thought I made the wrong decision because I was still healing and like going through old pictures. And even like, you know, people constantly asking, well, where's Jason? Where's Jason? I think a lot of that played into me thinking like almost like Jedi mind tricks of you did something wrong. You should have just stuck it out. And this situation was different because our marriage was real, don't get me wrong, but it was different in how we got together. And, you know, when I hear about people ending relationships and things ending in divorce, it is awful. But, like, it's hard. Like, you cannot make something work without each person giving their all. Marriage is not 50-50. It is 110% and 110% from each other. And it's hard. And, you know, it worked for a long time, but looking back, he and I both know it didn't work the way that it was supposed to. And I am very confident that my next relationship, I will not make the same mistake that I did in my first one because I learned from them.
Do you think the cameras and stuff kind of served as a distraction from maybe like the underlying problems that you guys might have had until they were gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that it hindered me specifically from knowing how to deal with conflict as I should have been able to deal with conflict because I was scared of what it might look like. And that's bad because when you act a different way, when the cameras go away, I'm not saying I didn't act the same, but like we would definitely have conversations and fights that were off camera that were never solved. And, or we would have arguments on camera in conflict that then we were forced to discuss and revisit for the next 3 months. And that does something to your brain, like having to go back and relive something that you have already forgiven each other for is not cool.
Yeah.
Like it is, it's hard to explain, but just imagine like having to revisit a painful fight that you both agreed and said that you forgave each other, but then someone's asking you, well, talk about that again. Or didn't that make you mad when he did that? It's like, well, yeah, but we've moved on from it, but you're not allowed to move on from it yet because we still have things to film about it. That I think has a lot to do with why reality TV couples and people who are on reality TV to do with their relationships have a hard time.
Well, that sounds like really unfair to make somebody relive something like that just for content. But I get it. I get why they have to do it and why they do it. I mean, it sells shows and it sells the TV show and stuff to the people, I guess. But it just seems so inhumane, kind of.
It's part of it. And it's part of the reason I have zero desire to ever be involved with TV like that again. Mm-hmm. And some people can handle it perfectly. I'm not that type of person. And I think Jason handled it way better than I did, but I would take everything personally and I felt like I was always being attacked and it wasn't good for me. So I think that I have a very different perspective on even how reality TV is filmed when it comes to, because of how it affected me and my relationship. Now, if it was like a game show or something, that's completely different. Yeah. But, you know, this is our real marriage. And it started on TV and it started publicly and it ended publicly. And that's just tough in general.
Were the, like those therapy sessions that they had you guys do publicly, was that hard, or was that, how much of that was real?
It was all real.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was directed, like we had specific things we were going to talk about. Uh-huh. But when in the spinoff, when I went, everything was already set up. Like this is on the to-do list kind of for the day. Like, hey, we're going to see Dr. Logan. Obviously she's a, sex therapist or sexologist.
Okay.
This is what we're going to be talking about. So we knew the agenda. When I went to go see Joseph during the second year or the first year, whichever spinoff that was, I needed to talk to him and I was like falling apart. There were more things I wanted to talk to him about, but I didn't want it on camera. And that wasn't an option. And something that like I had to realize was he is not my therapist. He is employed by the show. And so anything I tell him, it's not doctor patient. That doesn't work with reality TV. And so, I mean, I could have sought him out outside of the show. But I sought out other therapy outside of the show. And I still talk to all the therapists today. It's been a long time since I've talked to Pepper or to Greg, but I still talk to Logan and Joseph on the internet often.
So you actually were allowed to go seek therapy outside of that then? They weren't like, you can only see our guys and that's it?
Oh, no, they never said that.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear, at least.
Yes. And I'm very pro therapy in general, but I credit this show with making me that way because before I'd never seen a therapist of any type. And I think part of the social stigma around it was, oh, well, what's wrong with you? You're not mentally well. Well, no shit. Like most of us are not mentally well. We all have things that we need help with. And I'm very happy that the social stigma is changing around mental health because mental health is just as important as if you broke your wrist, you aren't just going to wish it away or somebody tell you, oh, it's okay. It's just this,
yeah.
You know, you're going to go and you're going to get help and our brain and our soul and mentally, we need that too.
Oh, I appreciate you so much for bringing that up. I think that is a cause to me that's like very important. And I appreciate you for saying those words about it because yeah, we don't really talk about it enough and there is a stigma, even though, like you said, it is breaking down a little bit, but it's still there. And, and I think it needs to be talked about as much as possible. So thank you.
Well, of course it's important to me because everybody doesn't have to be okay. It's okay to not be okay. I think that's like a slogan or something, but it's a good one.
And it's so true. It's so true. It is okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, like, what are your passions right now? Like, what do you like to fill your time with, you know, now that you don't have to fill your time with being filmed all the time?
Well, I am traveling a lot. I love to go places and do new things. I just love to travel. And, you know, I do want to have children in the near future after hopefully I am married and have babies down the line. And I know your whole world changes when you have kids. And so I'm just enjoying going and traveling and both in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. I have a trip coming. Well, it's not coming up. We just planned it, but it's in June. I'm going to Ireland. Super excited about that.
Oh, wow.
I'm also trying to focus a lot on work right now. So I am in a relatively new industry for me, even though it is a family company. I am learning everything I can, and I hope to be on a 3 to 4 year plan of being CEO one day. So I'm trying to be a businesswoman and learn from some of the best people I've known. And that's what I'm kind of focusing on right now and enjoying time with my boyfriend. And most of the time he's with me when we travel and spending a lot of time with my family. And the older I get, the more I realize, like, we can't take anything for granted in terms of time. We don't know how much we're given. We don't know what the next hour brings, what the next minute brings. Things change so quickly. And I think it's important to, like, encourage people, the people that you love and that you care about and that are important to you, tell them, because you don't want to miss the opportunity. And, like, also forgiveness. Forgive people. people are going to screw up. People are going to do things. Forgiveness is one of the most important, important things that I feel like we don't have enough because people hold on to things so tightly. But I promise you, if you forgive, it's going to lift burdens off of you and lift things away from you. And it will make you a lot better.
I don't know if there's a better place to end that. I mean, I know I told you I'd only keep you for an hour, but you kind of like summed it up for me right there, I think.
Oh.
I love that.
Well, thanks. I feel like it's very true to my life.
I absolutely had such a great time, and I'm so, so, so thankful for you for being on and giving me an hour of your time.
Well, thank you. It was great.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.